With me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That will be our first passage this evening. Good to be back with you again today. And we have visitors with us. We want you to know that we're glad that you've come to be with us as well. As was mentioned this morning, we'll be having our congregational meeting after our service, our worship service this evening. And so there will be a shorter sermon. And we'll still have the Lord's Supper offered after the sermon. And do we do announcements? We'll have announcements. And then after the announcements, then we'll go into our congregational meeting. And those of you who are visiting, if you want to stay, you're welcome to. If not, you're welcome to leave as well. But thank you so much for being here tonight. You know, obeying commandments is essential in being a disciple of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19 says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters." We also find in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If we're to have fellowship with God, then we must keep His commandments. Also in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." And these are just some of the passages that emphasize the importance of obeying the commandments of God. If we're going to be pleasing to God and go to heaven, then we must keep commandments. But I think we all know the idea of commandment keeping is not a popular one among many people. They just don't like that idea. It may be that growing up, they remembered how unpleasant it was as a child to obey rules, keep commandments, and it's just something they just do not like for somebody to tell them what to do. And so they reject that. And we could talk about a lot of the reasons why it's rejected and why people don't like keeping commandments. But what I want us to do is, in the short time that I have here this evening, is to kind of give us a different perspective on keeping commandments. You know, if I view it as kind of a mechanical thing, just going through the motions, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and a lot of it, I'd rather be doing something else. Sure, it's going to be a burdensome task. But, you know, we can view this with a different perspective, a perspective that God gives us. And I just want to very briefly present that to you so that when we think about doing God's will, and sometimes obeying commandments are unpleasant, let's view it this way. Let's go back to the passage we read at the very beginning, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. Notice he says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters." Now, I want you to compare this with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Now, notice both of these verses begin the same way. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. That doesn't matter. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 says, "But keeping the commandments of God is what matters." And here Paul, in writing to the Galatians, though, presents it in this way. "But faith working through love." And, you know, I think they're parallel. I don't think we're talking about two different things here. Keeping the commandments of God is the same as faith working through love. And so really what we can do is we can view it, think of it as faith working through love. And so when you think about keeping the commandments of God, doing the things that He's called upon us to do, first of all, you can view it as demonstrating your faith. This is going to show my faith in Him. How that I trust Him. And we know that that's how we demonstrate our faith, is by doing what He says. James, you remember in James 2, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And the works that he's talking about is obeying the commands of God. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? What kind of faith do you have? Do you believe in God? Do you trust Him? Well, the way we show our trust and our faith in Him is when He commands us to do something, we do it. And that's something that can cause me to say, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to show my faith in Him. I want to show that I trust Him by obeying His commandments. Also, by keeping the commandments of God, I show my love. It's faith working through love. And so when I obey these commandments, it is an expression of my love for God. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Think about that. The next time the commandment is hard, then think of it in terms of I'm showing my love for Jesus in doing this. 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Why are the commandments of God not burdensome? There's some pretty difficult things to do sometimes. It can be done. God has never required of us what we cannot do. And so, I can do it, but sometimes it's hard. When I view it as an expression of my love for the Lord, then that makes it easier. It's like the little boy that was carrying his brother on his back. Someone says, is he heavy? And the boy said, no, he's my brother. And that's what love does. Love takes the burden away. When we do it out of love, because we want to please our Lord, and when we consider what He has done for us, we want to please Him. And so when we view it as the showing our love for Him, then it's easier for us to then keep those commandments. But let's look at another passage paralleling that with 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. Again, Paul says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 15. Again, this passage begins similarly to 1 Corinthians 7, 19, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what? But a new creation. And so I can view keeping the commandments of God as being a new creature. And really, that's what we do in keeping the commandments of God. We are really showing what is involved in being a new creation. Think of it as being a new creation. You know, one who is in Christ is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, this new creation, we are new creatures. We live a different way. And we could spend a lot of time now talking about this new life. But look with me in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Paul says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, I want to suggest to you, doing this sometimes is hard. Now, some of it, you know, someone might say, well, fornication, that's not really a problem. With some, it is. That's a difficult thing for them to obey. And so think about that as you go through this list. Doing these things, avoiding these things in your life can be very difficult. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, a desire for more, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, of course you're a new creature, but now, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice. You know, controlling your temper can be very hard at times. Blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. For some people, that is difficult to control, but they can do it. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on off the old man. Put on the new man. Notice the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. In other words, I, in this being a new creature, is becoming more and more like God. More and more like my Lord. And that's the way I can view the keeping of commandments. Putting off this old man. Putting on the new. Doing things that God has commanded me to do. In so doing, what am I doing? I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I am becoming what is characteristic of this new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, this is a perspective that we can have in keeping commandments. And think about it. Every time you're called upon to do something, you know, oh, this is hard, but I know this is what the Lord wants me to do. Think about it in the sense, well, I'm showing my faith. It is faith working here. And I am expressing my love for the Lord. I surely don't want to displease Him. And I am now showing what it means to put off that old man, to put on the new, to become more and more like Jesus. This is the way what Jesus would do. This is how He would live. And when we think of it in that way, then it no longer becomes really a burden. It becomes really an opportunity to show our love and our faith. It becomes something that we can appreciate. We have the opportunity to do in our lives. Well, that's the lesson I wanted to present to you. And for you to leave here this evening and to think about as you go through the remainder of this week, the remainder of this month, the remainder of this year, and for your life, to think about these things as you strive to do those things that are pleasing in God's eyes. Don't think of it as something, oh, do I have to do this? Think of it as something that you would desire to do and want to do. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians. It may be the reason you haven't become a Christian as yet because you know you have to change your life. There are certain things you have to put off and certain things you've got to put on. And it's going to be very difficult and you don't want to make that change. But do you believe in Jesus? Someone said, yeah, I do. Well, show your faith by making that commitment to Him tonight. Do you love Him? Well, keep His commandments. Come to Him tonight. Repent of all your sins, having that believing heart. Confess your faith before this group here tonight, and then be baptized, immersed in water in His name for the remission of your sins. The Lord will save you, and if you'll serve Him faithfully, loving Him, showing your love, and committing your life and doing His will, then you'll be able to live with Him for all eternity. It may be you've become a Christian, you fall away. No longer are living for Him. You have allowed Satan to take control of your life. And it's because commandments are hard. And you just don't want to do them anymore. Well, repent. Go to God in prayer with that penitent heart. And ask Him to forgive you. And come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. Don't leave here tonight without being right with God. Without being forgiven of your sins. Don't leave here without the hope of eternal life. We don't know when the Lord is coming. We don't know when we'll die. It could be tonight. Are you ready? Why not come? While together we stand and sing.